Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You know something big happened when this next person decides to come in studio. Former Chiefs defensive lineman. He's in the Missouri Sports Hall of Fame. He's the head of the Chiefs ambassador. Bill Moss joins us on the drive today. How you doing, Bill?
Great to be here, guys. Thanks for having me in.
We're happy to have you in. Bill is presented by 7th Street Casino. Bill, let's start with this. What's been your read maybe on how the whole process of getting Mahomes back on the field is? From he has never missed a practice. Like, that part kind of blows my mind. From seeing him on the ground in the game against the Broncos, he has not missed one single practice. What do you make of these last 3 weeks, clearly prepping him and gearing him for playing Sunday against the Titans?
Yeah, so, you know, that's that whole process of getting back on the field. And I'm talking as a guy that's gone through it. You played as a player trying to get back with off an injury. For the player it's himself, you feel absolutely worthless when you're standing on the sideline with an injury. There's no way you can really help your team. Yeah, you can go through all the motions of talking or having a headset on and sitting down and talking to your teammates when they come off the field and all that stuff. But in all actuality, that's just, you know, window dressing, because you really feel worthless that you're not out there helping. But for Patrick, that kneecap slide, you know, it was so quick and back, and his ligaments were so tight around it. It wasn't really about the kneecap so much. I think it was a time just to heal everything. I think it was a time. It was more to me watching him run and the videos that they saw. It was still about the ankle as much as the knee. So it was a combination of trying to get both of those things healthy again and getting him back on the field. And getting up to speed. Just watching him, the things he did, even jumping up and down after the game winning field goal, going through the practice drills, just watching him, you can still see that that he is favoring this stuff. You can jump up and down, you can chop your legs, you can do all those things, but it's just not the same. And I'm just telling you, as a guy that's had knee injuries and ankle injuries, sprains, It's tough. You want to get back on the field. You do all the motions, but you're just still not the same. And I think getting him up to close to 100% has been the key factor.
What's the hardest part to maybe get over when you're trying to get back on the field? Is it the physical part of maybe you physically can't do all the things you could pre-injury, or the mental side of it where you got to trust your knee, you got to be able to cut, you have to have that confidence that your body is going to respond to what you're trying to do?
Well, any of these guys that have gotten to this level have the mentality and the makeup that, you know, they're indestructible. You know, they want to be out there. And so the mind part of it forces them to get out there earlier than they want to. And as a former guy, I can sit back and tell you, you know, hey, you know, you should take as much time as you need to get healthy again to preserve your career. But as a guy that was out there, all you want to do is get back on the field.
Do you think Matt Moore's play made it a difficult decision for the Chiefs?
Yeah. I do. I think that he's played extremely well, given the circumstances. He's a guy that's not as mobile as Patrick is. And so when that line breaks down around him, he's a sitting duck, really. He rolled out. He extended some plays last week. He certainly stood in the face of pressure like a guy.
Oh, yeah.
You know, man, he got hit a bunch and delivered the ball and delivered the throws. So it takes a special person to be able to do that. Yeah, so watching him play and knowing that he can be accurate, he can get the ball to the playmakers, it had to be a tough decision. And they must feel really good about where Patrick's at.
Right now we're talking to Bill Moss. He is in studio. He is presented by 7th Street Casino. You bring up the ankle. Where I maybe struggle with in the commentary of it is, every football player at this point of the season is dealing with something. But I'm not saying the ankle is 100%, but again, none of those players out there are 100%. How big of a deal is the ankle, in your opinion?
Well, yeah, look, when he was playing with that hurt ankle, you could see him in the pocket favorite. After he would throw the ball, he'd literally lift his foot off the ground so that the pressure wasn't on his ankle. I saw that numerous times. And when you have that, that's a serious injury, and you feel it and you play through it. And the tricky part about it is, it's not only the pain. If you're playing with the pain, that's hard, and you favor it, and you favor your body. Takes care of it. You put strain on other parts of your body when you're favoring one part. And I don't care if you're just walking down the street. If you have something wrong with you and you're walking down the street and one part of your leg or your back or your ankle or your knee or something, and you're favoring one side, it takes its toll on that side. So, I'm just glad that he's had the time to rest and heal. And the Chiefs must feel really good about the position they're in right now with his health.
Bill, I would imagine at some point you had high ankle sprain playing football. Is that something that rest can solve? Is that something that can heal over the course of the season? Because at least to me, just reading about it and trying to learn about it, it lingers, seems like that's something that's going to deal with the whole season.
Lingers, yeah, it does. And, what's really weird is when you take the shot to numb it, to deaden it, when you're running, you can't feel your foot hit the turf. So you don't even – it's the weirdest feeling. There's no feeling in your foot whatsoever. So you can't – when you're running, but can you imagine not feeling – being able to feel your foot hit the turf or the grass or whatever it is you're playing on? And it's a weird feeling. You're like – your body from memory is going through the motions of running, but you can't feel your foot hit the ground.
Bill Moss in studio. So, Bill, that being said, Pat's going to be out there. How close to the MV Pat that we've gotten used to do you think he's going to be on Sunday?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. I think it's something you keep an eye on. Is how elusive is he going to be? Is he going to be the guy that we saw last year and the beginning of this year that's mobile, can extend plays, can get out of the pocket and make things happen downfield? Or is he going to be more of a pocket passer? And if he is in the pocket, if I'm defending him, if I'm a defensive coordinator, if I'm Tennessee, I want to keep him
in the
pocket.
I'm coming after him all day.
Yeah, bring it. I'm coming after him, especially given the status of our offensive line. I mean, if you've watched them closely over the last 4 weeks, it's they've got a long way to go. It's kind of like a speed bump, really.
That's what I was saying. Like, we've had all these injuries and all these things have happened and all these bumps in the road. This is as big of a game for the Chiefs' offensive line, Bill, maybe since, I don't know, Andy Reid's been the head coach.
Right. No, I agree with you. I mean, what was Burt Reynolds in the longest yard?
Mm-hmm.
What's the most important thing? Right. Protect your quarterback.
Yeah.
And so, this team over the last 2 weeks, you've seen them step up in different ways.
All over the field, a bunch of guys.
Defense has picked it up a notch. The special teams has picked it up. I mean, everybody's picked it up, and they've played well off of each other, all three aspects, and that's important. And so, when your franchise quarterback comes back, you have to imagine that the offensive line meeting room is pretty intense. We have to protect this guy.
Was that coincidence or was that real? Because I heard a bunch of people saying, well, Pat goes down, everybody else has to step up their game. And I was like, nah, that's not how it works. All these NFL players are making millions of dollars. They're trying as hard as they can on every single play. But it appears that that's exactly what happened.
That does happen. And it's kind of like natural instincts take over. But when you have a player of the caliber of Patrick Mahomes, you get lazy. I mean, the coaches get lazy. Honestly, if you have a Dan Marino, if you have a Barry Sanders, if you have guys that are so good at what they're doing at that time, you get lazy and comfortable and just say, turn them loose. Let's go do this. We'll dial it up and play. But when he went down, it was a responsibility to everybody. And I'm sure the coaches, there's not a doubt in my mind that conversation took place. We need everybody to pick it up with this guy out.
You say that all the time, C-Dot, that this team for a while became too reliant on just Patrick Mahomes.
I look at this team, and I think through the first 6 weeks, the plan was simply, Pat, go be great. Like, yeah. I don't really know what else they really did at a high level. That I do think over the last 3 weeks, it's really forced them to be good and great at a couple of things. Think about it. Penalties went down since Mahomes has been out.
Right.
This team rushes the passer better. They blitz more. They do a lot more things than they did when Pat was healthy.
They got really aggressive on defense. There's no question about that. They also came back with all the stuff that Andy really likes to do, all the window dressing with formation, personnel grouping, shifts and motions. You don't know who's going to end up where at what time. And that was a big benefit for Moore.
Right now we're talking to Bill Moss. His in-studio appearance is presented by 7th Street Casino. One more injury question before we kind of dive into the game a little bit more. Have you heard anything about Frank Clark or Eric Fisher?
No, as far as how long
just
are they going to be out?
Injury-wise, health-wise, I know you talk to a lot of people. Because Fisher's injury, I kind of expected him to at least be consistently practicing and back by now. And Frank Clark, it's not like we can find the play in which he got hurt. It just was one day, well, his necks bothered him, and then you just didn't see him again.
Yeah, I think that what I've heard, and you know, is just what I've heard, and I don't know if it's naturally all true, but both of these injuries are a little bit more intense than what they had originally thought.
How are you starting to feel about this defense? It appears they've turned the corner the last few weeks. They're really shut down, not just slowed down, but shut down Dalvin Cook.
Yeah.
How are you feeling about the defense, especially the run D?
You know, I talked to you guys about this, about Spagnuolo and you know, the things that he's capable of doing and how this team will get better with more reps, this young group. And they are. They're getting better. They're getting better without their star players. They got better in Denver. They got a lot of confidence in Denver. Denver may be a bad team, but when you play good, you feel good. And that's all there is to it. And as a player, you feel good. Yeah, I can do this. You get a couple sacks. Wow. I want another sack. And you just start feeding off the confidence that you got. And this defense has certainly done it. Now, Spags has helped this out a lot, too. I mean, he's gotten really aggressive. In Denver, he knows Denver's going to run the ball. He knew where Flacco's going to be because he sits in the pocket as a statue. He brought heat. He brought blitzes. He brought run blitzes. They just went after that. They're playing downhill. And what I mean by downhill is they're shooting gaps. They're bringing linebackers. They're attacking the offensive line and not sitting back and waiting on them. And they've done that over the last 3 weeks. I've seen more and more of it. And it's fun, exciting, and those guys feel good about what they're doing.
Right now we're talking to Bill Moss. He is presented by 7th Street Casino. Breaking news in college basketball. The NCAA has ruled James Wiseman, who was the number one high school player last year, he has been ruled ineligible, his lawyers said, in Memphis. James Wiseman, I think, was going to be the best college basketball player this year. He has been ruled ineligible. Something tells me it will be a long fight to get him back on the court. Back to the Chiefs and Titans. What have you seen defensively? Has it just been guys stepping up? Has it been schematic? Because I look at how they're using the linebackers. They are blitzing a lot more than they did the first 6 weeks. What have you seen from this defense that maybe explains their progression?
Yeah, so that's what I was talking about playing downhill. They're bringing different blitzes. They're shooting gaps. They're stunning linebackers. They're attacking the offensive line. They're playing up close. They put nine men in the box to stop Dalvin Cook. They did the same approach, getting aggressive against the Denver running game, which was real good when they were going in to play him at that time, and they shut that down. So I expect to see more of the same against Tennessee. They're going to get aggressive and bring the heat and keep it coming against their running backs and the quarterback.
One thing I feel really encouraged in this matchup is there was a four-week stretch where you felt like any running back they went up against could have a good day against them. Like, that guy could run for
20. You could have gotten 200.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you could have got a 150.
But now you look at it, this defense should feel like we can stop Derrick Henry. Like, there's no reason for Derrick Henry to run for 125 yards against us. We can have a good day against this Titans offense.
Well, I think they understand that. If they can shut down the run, and then they can get the heat on the quarterback, and they've had success over the last 3 weeks doing that. So if they continue it, they understand what needs to get done. And when you do that, and you're playing with confidence, it makes it a lot easier. So they know the prime objective is take the run game away, and then put them in second and third and long, and then you get after the quarterback. And for Tannehill, you know, it could be a long day for him if they stop Walker.
Bill, you played on the defensive line. I feel like the D-line has maybe stepped up the most, and I came into it thinking, aside from their passing attack, that was probably the best unit on the team. I mean, Jones is playing at an all-pro-type level. Colin Saunders has really emerged. Emmanuel Agba, like, their defensive line is playing kind of what we thought it was going to do at the very beginning of the year.
Agba, Passanio, too. I mean, he's playing well. Saunders is really been impressive to me. Nnadi is really, over the last 3 weeks, is really shown that he's a force to be reckoned with in the middle, especially when they put him on an attack mode and give him a one gap to blow up. I've seen him split double teams numerous times this year. He's you know, squatty kind of guy, squatty body, strong. So, you know, he's in there and he holds his ground. And then the linebackers feed off that as well. So they're getting a better feel for the run fits and gap responsibility. And gap responsibility is so important when you talk about playing defense. It starts with that. If you don't have gap responsibility, if you're not good at it, you're going to have those 200-yard running backs going at you all day. And that's what we had probably the first 4 weeks, right?
Yeah.
And they weren't good. They weren't fundamentally sound in their gap responsibilities. And over the last 3 weeks, they've tightened that up. And they've done it without the likes of Chris Jones when he wasn't there, without the likes of Clark when he was injured. So, you know, hats off to the guys that are stepping up and doing it.
Bill, after beating the Vikings, and of course the Patriots lose to the Ravens, and it looks like Patrick Mahomes is coming back on Sunday, there's a good feeling right now. The sun's back out in Kansas City. Do you still think the one seed is in play?
Do I think the what?
The number one seed is in play.
Yeah, I do. You know, anything can happen. There's still a lot left, and as we start getting our guys back and get healthy, hopefully we'll get Eric Fisher back and get him healthy and get Frank Clark back in the rotation and get him healthy and keep our wide receivers and our playmakers healthy. This team can take a run. And this is the time of the year you want to do it. You get into November, you start putting your team together to go on a run. And that's when you start looking at closing out the season.
You mentioned Fisher. Did you know that he was this important now that he hasn't been on the field most of the season?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it sure makes him look like an all-pro.
He's getting paid by not playing, absolutely.
Yeah, I know. I get what you're saying. He's you know, he's definitely missed right now, and so's Tardif. You know, him being out as well. I think that that offensive line has struggled over the last several weeks, and it'll be interesting to see how they try to step up to take care of Patrick.
Right now, we're talking to Bill Moss. If you got a question, we'll go rapid fire here in a little bit. Text line 69306. Going back to a little bit about the one seed in the playoffs, both BK and Sean, they are moving off the New England Patriots. I'm still very firmly on board with the New England Patriots, but they did take a beatdown at the hands of the Ravens. Their schedule has been very fortunate, and then the one real test they had, again, they got beat down by the Ravens. Where do you stand on New England?
You know, it's tough to say given the first, what, 6-7 weeks they played and who they played. I think that's what everybody's been talking about, that, you know, they're subpar teams. But you can only play who's on your schedule. So their defense looked great early in the season. Their offense is hitting on stride as it did last year when they won the Super Bowl. But they've been exposed, and they've shown that, look, they can be beat, and a formula is there to beat them. And the Chiefs have the personnel, if healthy, to go do exactly that. You know, if they take the run game away and get after Brady, Brady's not moving anywhere. He's not rolling out. He's not extending plays. You can bring it. You can find it. He's going to be standing right there about 5 yards deep in the pocket. So it becomes easier if you shut that down, shut the run, and then get after the quarterback. But the Chiefs, if healthy, they've got the talent and the personnel to go up there and beat them in New England.
Last night we saw a pretty good matchup between the Raiders and the Chargers. Mm-hmm. How much of that did you watch? What's kind of your takeaway with Oakland, where Oakland schedule-wise kind of breaks in such a way? Carr looks as healthy as he's been. Josh Jacobs running the ball effectively. Oakland looks like a possible wild card playoff team.
You know, I think right now you'd have to consider John Gruden in the talk about the coach of the year. Going into the season, it was a dumpster fire, right? Everything that's surrounding the Raiders, there's nothing good happened. And then Bursette gets lost for the year over a hit to the head. You'd think that, you know, it would fall apart around him, but it hasn't. And you know, John kind of, he feeds off that. You know, that whole Raider mystique and everybody hates us and the world is falling down around us, but us here, like, we're Raiders. We're going to go take care of it. And he's got those guys believing. And, you know, they got that running back, man. That makes all the difference in the world. And Carr is on his way to having one of his best years he's ever had.
He just looks a lot more confident than he's looked the last couple of years. Like, you remember that? It was that one little meme that was going where it looked like he was crying on the field. And it didn't really feel like they were all on the same page. He was playing with an energy, and he was getting the crowd involved and the other team's way of responding. It's like, he hasn't looked like this since he broke his ankle 2-3 years ago.
And like Bill said, Josh Jacobs has been awesome.
Absolutely.
To this point, he's probably the NFL Offensive Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, he's been really impressive. And, you know, that's been a big factor in all this. But you're right, C-Dot, about Carr. When Carr came back from that broken ankle in the next year, he was a scared man. He was scared in the pocket. He hurried his throws. He didn't want anyone around him. That was a brutal injury, you know. So it took him a while. Then Gruden comes in. And Gruden looks at him, and then he's yelling at him all the time on the sidelines, and there's all this talk about wanting to go a different direction and get rid of him. And lo and behold, he stays with him. They find this young running back, And they're playing good defense as well. They're a pretty good team. They could get a wild card out of this.
Absolutely. I mean, I look at it right now. I think Buffalo's making the playoffs just because of the way their schedule is. And I look at that other wild card spot. I think it's probably the Colts, second place team in the AFC South. I think Oakland's right there in Pittsburgh. That's probably who's going to get that last playoff spot.
I would be surprised if Pittsburgh was able to turn that around. But, yeah, I think the Raiders have got a good team. And they can, you know, they can make a push here at the end of the year for a wild card spot.
Coming up in about 10 minutes, we will get into the top stories of the day in Kansas City. But before we do that, BK, let's fire up some music. Let's go rapid fire with Bill Moss. Text line 69306. Bill, what is your favorite barbecue restaurant?
Oh, Elsie's.
You like Elsie's?
Yeah, man.
I never would have guessed that.
That's a greasy spoon. That's beautiful.
I never would have guessed that LC is what your favorite. Sean's favorite is Rosedale.
You're better at Rosedale?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
See?
On I-35?
Yeah. I've been trying to tell C that. No, I need to talk smack.
You know, a lot of the barbecue masters go over there to get their smoking wood.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, you know what you good too? Slaps, man.
Slaps is incredible.
Yeah.
Slaps is really
Blind
good.
Box, really underrated barbecue, too.
You know, Blind Box is good. Text line 69306. How big is it to have Reggie Ragland back?
Yeah, well, you know, the linebackers, they were been such a question mark all year long, but all of them have picked their game up. And also, Spags has found who can fit into what defense. You know, if they're going to go spread, you need a linebacker in there, you know, you go with Lee. And then if you got thumpers, you bring Ragland back into the mix and Hitchens. And, you know, so I think they've figured out how to use them in their different defenses.
Text line 69306. We're doing Ask Us Anything Rapid Fire with Bill Moss. So if you got a question, go ahead and text it in. Text line 69306. Bill, I've seen you at, is this Salvatore's? What's your favorite meal there?
Salvatore's. Yeah, I love Salvatore's.
What's your favorite meal there?
You know what? I go with they got meatballs about the size of your head. And they have provol cheese over top of it. I get two of those and salad with some anchovies on it, bread with the Italian butter. Oh, good Lord.
There aren't too many people that I would ask for food recommendations. You're at the top of the list.
Oh, yeah.
Like, any place you tell me has good food, I know that it's some good eating there.
Yeah. I get out a lot. I like eating.
I'm pretty sure I saw you a couple of weeks ago. Were you down at City Market? You hang out down there?
Yeah.
Thought I saw you.
Yeah. That Italian market crawls down there?
Yes.
I go down there and get all kinds of stuff.
You ever had the octopus?
Oh, all the time. Octopus salad in buckets?
No, you haven't. Are you serious?
Yes. Yes, it's awesome.
It looks horrible. You've had it?
I get it. I get a plastic thing of it.
Good
I also
for you.
Go there for my olives.
Text line 69306.
And my super soda.
The families are phenomenal. The desserts, too.
Cannolis?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Bill, who is your favorite teammate?
Oh, man. And I've had so many of them. When you play 10 years, you just come across so many. But Mike Bell, Art Steele, Daron Cherry, Dino Hackett. I mean, we had some good times for sure. Neil Smith, Derek was a blast. Gosh, I was lucky. I got to play with some great guys and great friends still.
This has basically just turned into Bill Moss food recommendations. Bill, what is your favorite Mexican restaurant?
Ooh, that's a good one, too.
Now, I actually want to hear this. Okay. I love Mexican food.
So, first of all, I go down the boulevard, okay?
Yeah, margaritas?
Huh?
Margaritas on the boulevard?
Margaritas, I've eaten there, but up closer. Go to the buffet down there?
Yeah.
The real stuff?
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Gosh, is that
There's good. A few places. The Ponax.
Ponax is great, yeah, too. Yeah, we go to Rancho Grande.
Uh-huh.
Go up north to Rancho Grande. There's no doubt they've got the best margaritas in the world. Hands down, not even close.
They got the best in the world?
Yeah.
I mean, somewhere I need to be tonight.
Yeah, you got to check it out. Rancho Grande's margaritas. I don't know what they do to it, but it doesn't have that tart taste that leaves in your mouth or something. It's just, And they're strong. They'll knock you out. Two's the limit for you.
I go to San Antonio's and KCK for their tacos.
Dude,
amazing.
Are you kidding me?
It's amazing.
All the time. And El Pollo Ray across the street?
Yeah.
Come on.
Phil's my favorite.
Hey, you know what? Go to El Torito on Central. It's at 14th and Central. It's a supermarket. You got to go in there.
Okay. BK, can we make this a new segment?
Please.
Food recommendations.
Absolutely.
With Bill Moss. I would love doing this every single day if we just ask him type of food, and then he just gives us a place to go eat at for the day.
Yeah, we can do that.
No, this sounds good.
The Meal Minute with Moss?
Yeah, Meal Minute.
Yep.
Oh, look at
you.
If anybody could have named it, it was you.
The Meal Minute with Machine and Moss.
We'll get that sponsor.
Let's do it. Absolutely.
There's no way that you're a part of the Meal Minute. You don't even like using gift cards.
I can make macaroni and cheese and toast and eggs. I'm a great cook.
Bill's a little finer dining than you are.
Like Gordon Ramsay.
How about it? He's got a deal going, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sure does.
That's actually one date for Sean.
He was at Q39 yesterday.
Yeah. Have you heard Sean that he says that on a first date you should spend an average of $150?
On who?
Her.
Any first date. Seems about right. That's usually what I end up spending on my first dates.
That's $150 of drinks to make her look pretty, Sean. Is that it?
You said it. Bill Moss.
That is Bill Moss. He is presented by 7th Street Casino. Bill, it's always good having you in studio. Coming up, we will get into the top stories of the day in Kansas City. It is The Drive.
The Drive. Weekdays 2 to 6.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.